cliffcentral.com.
Yesterday or today. I mean, it's, you don't know what to get dressed in because you know you're gonna peel off layers once it gets to sort of 11 o'clock in the morning, right?
Well, not unless you are trapped in a fridge for most of the day because of air cons. You know the air con war in offices.
Yeah, we have a big air con war here. It's obviously more manageable now because there are less of us. Mm. I mean, when Touch Central were in here as well, it was impossible. Some people wanted it super cold. Some people wanted it warm. Do you have your air con on in the car?
No.
Oh,
I do.
I have my heater on currently.
No. I'm not talking now, but
oh.
Usually. No. You know, usually you... I drive around with that thing on, even if it's on just one, so it's very low, but it has to be cool air. I can't stand to be trapped in a car with hot air. It's awful.
I open the window slightly.
If it then makes that noise and that boop, 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 in your ear, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Oh, that drives me crazy. Hey, look who's here and he can move. It's Ben.
Yeah, side to side, look at that.
Like an Ariana Grande song.
Far from perfect. Far from perfect, but getting there.
Yeah, I really thought you'd come in looking more like a question mark today, but it didn't happen.
Well, I think that's what you were hoping for, Gareth. You're very evil.
No, not hoping for. I just wanted to see like Ben in that kind of contorted.
It's kind of like two things, right? I'm in a bad way, but I'm kind of pushing through. Like I'm just so annoyed that I'll just rather deal with the pain and I'll walk.
So you didn't have it all weekend. It just kind of happened on Sunday.
Well, as Derek said to me yesterday, I'm very stressed and my body pressure points are all in a very bad place right now.
And why are you so stressed?
Gareth has various personal issues involved. It's just my body is like this wound up ball of tension and it just needed some sort of catalyst to then break down, I think.
Where did he touch you?
Sure. Most weird didn't he touch me. No, it's like every time I go there, it definitely helps. But there's certain things I can totally deal with. Yesterday, I couldn't deal with a single thing. Every pressure point was messed. And in his words, you really are buggered this time.
Well, you've got to figure out. I mean, this stress is a killer, man.
It is.
You know, Jacob Zuma doesn't believe in stress, but it happens.
Yeah, but I'm white, so I get the stress.
It's true.
Yeah. It's but genetic.
You've got to figure out something to deal with that. I mean, you shouldn't be so stressed.
Yeah, Gareth, and this world should be perfect for everyone.
No. You know, there are people with much, much more difficult lives than any of us.
Yeah, but so, I mean, we can't always sit here and go, oh, we're qualifying difficult lives. Everyone's got different lives.
Yeah. It's like that conversation.
This isn't a competition.
Sure. It's like that conversation that came up yesterday about how, you know, if you compare someone's struggle with someone else's struggle, you're never going to get an answer that's any good. This is why you only really have yourself as a measure.
Completely.
And the minute you measure someone else's life against yours, you're going to just be miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they are, I've used that example of I'll drive past someone on the street corner and think, oh, well, you know, in some way I'm jealous of that person because they don't have any responsibilities.
Exactly. Their life can be and their really days, high very quickly.
And their days are all the same. I mean, they can wake up and go and beg or they might not.
Oh, I saw these two guys. I was on William Nickel last week, and they were just dancing. It was the middle of the day.
Yeah.
They were just on the side of the road dancing, and I'm going, yeah, that's the life.
Were they promoting a musical?
No.
They were living a musical.
No, that was just their lives. Wow. It was like 1 p.m.
Okay.
Like, yeah,
nice.
That's what we need to do, guys.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, the biggest issue with comparing yourself to other people is it doesn't solve your problems.
No. Exactly.
Oh, hot damn. Just dropping them pearls of wisdom.
I mean, it doesn't. You can complain about it, but it's not going to improve your situation.
Yeah, a friend of mine, Riaz, was, look at this quickly. He was at an event last night. There he is with Zuckerberg.
Oh, well, I mean, you see. Jeez.
Yeah, comparing yourself.
I know, look at this guy. He's just hanging with Zuckerberg.
It's just going
to
make you
jealous. He says in the caption, I bored Mark Zuckerberg to the max. And I'm like, no, dude, I think it's probably the other way around. Because Zuckerberg is not an interesting dude. We were talking about him yesterday.
Yeah.
He's probably, I know a lot of people respect him just because he made huge amounts of money, but he really is not a genius. I mean, all the really smart people in Silicon Valley don't have a lot of time for him. Larry Page and Elon Musk and those kinds of guys. They don't think much of Zuckerberg. He just lucked out. His timing was just good with Facebook. And if he hadn't figured it out, someone else would have. And I know that sounds trite, but that's what a lot of people in that part of the world say. And, you know, he's clearly building up to a political career. I mean, he's this geeky, gawky, strange, loserish type of guy. If he didn't have money, you wouldn't give him 5 minutes of your day. Admit it.
Of course not.
If Mark Zuckerberg walked in here, he doesn't look impressive. He doesn't sound impressive if you've ever heard him speak about it. He's got no grand vision for the world. He's one of those kids who wanted to be popular. And he's found the best way. I credit him with a lot of things, but he's found the best way to be popular. I don't think he's an interesting dude. I wouldn't want to spend time with him. Now, lots of people in the world I'd rather spend time with than him.
When you say he's gearing up for a political career, what do you think he has in mind?
Well, you can see it. He's the thing that bothers him, the chip on his shoulder is that he can't get into China.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't allow Facebook and WhatsApp in China at all.
Mm-hmm.
Or Instagram. And he's desperate to get... He even married a Chinese chick.
Does Facebook own Instagram?
He even married a Chinese chick so he could get into China, and they didn't buy it. They're like, you'll fuck you.
Well,
that was someone's name, by the way.
The Chinese don't really...
That's the person who said no.
The yes. Chinese's modus operandi is not really to be other people's bitches. They prefer it the other way around. You will be our bitch. Mark Zuckerberg, and we're not going to be yours.
You could see, like, he has this vision of the future that is his idea of how it might be. That, and it's kind of boring, like compared to the way Musk talks about the future, and you know the Google guys, Larry and Sergey.
Mm-hmm.
These are people who are visionary.
Facebook wants to kind of control you. Can you imagine how rigged the elections would be if he's running?
Yeah, well, that's it.
Like, he would stream everything towards his own advantage. Well,
this is what I'm saying. He's gonna do this. Eventually, he's going to reveal his big play, and we're all going to go, ooh, how exciting, Mark. Well, that's what most people will do, because people are just so easily... People are so impressed by money.
Yeah.
They can't help it, you know. You talk about comparing yourself to other people. People are so impressed with money. If someone is rich, their whole attitude to that person changes.
Money and celebrity. I mean, the first time that I was introduced to Mark Zuckerberg was through that movie, really and honestly.
Social network.
Yeah.
That's how I got to learn about his story. He's a celebrity, you know?
Mm.
And that also, that...
That's true.
That puts people in a tiz.
But the guy walks around in a hoodie and...
Yeah, I mean, look, that's part of his thing, you know.
If he weren't Mark Zuckerberg, he would walk past you in the Pick and Pay and you'd be like, none the wiser. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. But then you also have to wonder whether, you know, the hoodie thing, I mean, was it also well thought out? What's his name? Steve Jobs had the polar necks.
Yeah, well, this is it.
You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you think,
ugh. Yeah, he seems so calculated. Like, every move he makes. You know, I have a lot of respect for people who are strategic thinkers. Don't get me wrong. But I'm so cynical about these people who are trying to pull a fast one on you. Like, they've got their whole brand, if you... Pardon the use of that disgusting word. Figured out.
When did it become disgusting?
Well, because everybody thinks they've got a brand. You know, you meet some chick who's like got 20 followers on Instagram, and she'll say to you in a serious way, she's standing in front of you, nobody knows her except her mom, her dad, her cousins, and maybe her best friend and three other girls from the school. And she'll say to you, you know, I'm really cultivating my brand.
Mm.
On Instagram. Have you met these people?
Yes, but Gareth, that's because the so-called influencers are the ones going around telling these people that you need to think of yourself as a brand.
Well, let me remind you, not everybody is a brand, and some people are not a brand for good reason. You know? Being famous on social media does not mean you're a famous person. There are YouTube stars. I've walked right past them. I never knew they existed. I suppose I'm not a 12-year-old girl, but I don't know who these people are, and I see that they're making lots of money, and good for them. But don't tell me that in real life, any of them, if the internet went down tomorrow, those people would be sitting on the side of the street with a cup and a placard.
Oh, but if the internet went down tomorrow, we'd all be dead.
I'd be in trouble.
Just a little bit.
You know?
Just a little bit.
But I could still always go back to old FM radio if the most terrible thing happened and the internet died and let's say our mobile phones all exploded like those Samsungs.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose I could go back to radio and TV.
Oof, I'd have to actually be like...
What would you have to do?
Well, I'd have to go into biomedical sciences, wouldn't I? I mean, I'd have to work my way into a laboratory and...
Yeah. What's your backup plan, Sia?
Oh, girl.
What's your backup plan?
I could back up to Durban. Just, okay.
What's your backup plan, Ben? You thought about it?
Cheapest ride, and I was trying to back up my back.
Yeah.
It's a lot to take on in 1 week.
Backup plans.
Of course. I think you've got to have...
Well, you've got to have other plans, not backup plans, essentially.
And then I was reading this article yesterday that just made me so sad about how big this nuclear deal is and how much the corruption amounts to.
Mm.
Yes, and it's just money, huh?
Mm.
These guys are just, they're in it for money, that's all. You could see this. Everybody's worried that it's about the power. The president doesn't care about power. He's not interested in power. He's just after the money.
Yep.
And there's a lot of it. There's, they reckon out of that trillion, $100 billion is for paying off, you know, the different levels of corrupt people.
Oh my goodness!
From a couple of hundred thousand here to a couple of million to a couple of billion, everybody gets paid.
Everyone has a price.
Mm-hmm. All right, got more important things than that to talk about though. I read the most fascinating obituary about Chuck Berry. You know, the rock and roll star died a while ago. So apparently Chuck Berry, his thing was to pee on women.
I'm sorry, what?
He liked to pee on women.
Oh, golden showers.
Yeah, it was a sexual thing.
Oh, okay.
But it's, you know, it's all about humiliating the woman. That's what why he did it. Because he obviously hated women. You know, you get these guys who just hate women because maybe when they were younger they didn't get love from women and they didn't get attention. That turns into malice and they become real misogynists. So he would tell these women, and he would take pictures of them, because in those days that was the only way you could prove that it was consensual sex. Otherwise they'd sue him and, you know, they'd accuse him of rape and stuff. I remember he was a black guy and he was sleeping with a lot of white women. So these women would, if someone found out that they were sleeping with Chuck Berry, because he was a major star, but there was still this racism, so they would say, oh, he raped me. So he'd say, oh, hell no, honey, here's a picture of you and me holding hands naked. Or he'd film them, and they wouldn't know. So that he'd say to them, okay, you really want to go to court? Here's the tape. And they'd go, oh, okay, well, we won't. Because he would be peeing all over them and stuff.
Oh.
Jeez. Isn't that
amazing?
Nothing about what you just described sounds enjoyable for Chuck Berry or the women.
Oh, no.
Like, absolutely nothing there sounds like it was enjoyable.
Right. It must have been horrible, right?
I mean, you get peed on as a woman and then you get accused of rape as Chuck Berry. Like, where did either one of you win in
makes
that situation?
Makes you wonder how he wrote any songs at all, right? Poor guy. He must have been so miserable. And you know his most famous song, right? The song that made him most money?
No.
It's the dumbest song you've ever heard in your life. This is the song that made him all the money, and he used to be paid in cash for gigs.
Me a cute little toy, silver bells hanging on a string. She told me it was my ding-a-ling-a-ling. Oh, my.
To play with my ding-a-ling. And you know what he meant. He meant his cock. But you know, in those days...
Beautiful, beautiful,
beautiful. Yes,
sir, we got about 130 ladies singing now. It really gets to you. Wait till we get about the fifth verse.
You know, this is how far we've come as humans. And you hear people talking about things like rape culture these days. But I'll tell you something. We are 10 million steps ahead of where we were in the 1950s and 60s.
Sure.
There was no such thing in the 1900, 1910, somewhere around there. There was no such thing as consensual sex.
I mean, you were just taken.
Right.
And you just deal with it, woman.
Yeah, and you hear all about these. And before that, it was even worse. I mean, before that, the women were possessions, basically. And you hear these people, like these feminist activists these days, and they're talking about how men these days are, you know, they treat women badly. And my God, are men treating women well compared to how they used to. And I'm not saying it's reached a point where it's decent yet. But man, we have come a long way in 100 years. You listen to how Chuck Berry treated these women he would take home. And you think, that was the 1960s. That's not that long ago.
No.
And now, you know, we hear about, like, guys and girls at a frat party, and the guys, like, inappropriately touch the girl's breast, and she's like, "What, rape?" Because that is what happens. That's where this campus rape culture shit starts. And you think, well, these guys are so decent compared to how guys used to be.
Well, I mean, there's been improvement, but some of you are still pieces of shit.
No, of course. But listen, give us some credit, because we've, in 100 years, we've had to advance a hell of a long way. I'm not saying this is true for all men, obviously. I'm not one of those man haters. But I do think men have come a long way in 100 years. We've, for thousands and thousands of years, we've really just treated you women like possessions.
Yeah.
And you've really just been for our use. We didn't think of you as being our equals in any way. So for it to change in 100 years, and by the way, it didn't change because you women suddenly became powerful. It's changed because we decided we needed to get our shit together.
Oh, so it all changed because of you then.
Well,
thank you, men.
Well, no,
thank you, men.
You had a few marches, but you certainly wouldn't have been able to do it without a few forward-thinking men. Just like most of the good things in the world that have happened, it's happened because a very small group of decent, smart, intelligent people pushed the whole of civilization forward.
Well,
I'm not saying women didn't do anything.
It improved because men and women had to make it improve. I mean, that's the better way of saying it.
Well, how come only in 100 years?
What do you mean, how come only in 100 years? I mean, what does it matter, the time?
What, were there no good men before that? Were there no decent men who could have done one decent thing?
I'm saying it improved because men and women had to make it improved. It required both men and women, not just the women and not just the men. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, but they've both been there for thousands of years. So how come it only started to fix itself?
I don't know. I don't know about...
You know what I mean?
I don't know why it started fixing itself. Now... You know, at some point, people's voices started being heard.
But this is what I'm interested in. I'm interested in where that inflection point is, where people decide to be better. You know, like with sexism, with racism, with homophobia, with all kinds of bigotry. What is the point? Like, who was that first guy back in the 1800s who decided, you know, this slavery shit is not good? And decided he was going to actually stand up to the whole system. Who was that man or woman? And it might not have been one or two. Like Mabale says, it was a whole thing. It was a joint effort. But there had to be critical mass. There had to be enough people to say, we're stopping this old, antiquated, terrible way. And we're now going to move forward. We're going to do it differently. And people went, yeah, you know what? It's time. Because we're living through that in some ways.
Well, maybe it happened at the point... where, for example, with the sexism thing, surely there had to be a lot of women underground, you know, speaking about it amongst themselves, you know, formulating plans to take to the streets or whatever. On the opposite hand, there had to be men, you know, doing the same, saying, you know, we can't keep going on like this. But and the point at which those two meet,
yeah,
then that's when the change happens, I think.
I reckon the real tipping point came when it came to employment, right? Now, using Anchorman as a reference. Look at Anchorman, that movie starts, right? That woman arrives, everyone's treating her like a piece of...
Cornerstone. What's her name? Virginia Corningstone.
Virginia or
whatever her name is.
Yeah, so anyway.
Veronica Corningstone.
Veronica Corningstone arrives at work, right? Yeah. Everyone starts treating her like a piece of meat. And then it turns out she's actually quite a big deal. And you can't treat her like a piece of meat because it's going to impact negatively on your career. So I think as more and more women go into the workplace.
So you think men were civilized?
People started to have, like, having to behave.
Because men were, let's be frank because, about because this. Men had to get civilized by something. There had to be some civilizing influence. Like, when are we going to get rid of the other? Because there's obviously still a lot of sexism going on. I'm not saying it's over by any means. But there has to have been a point where the majority of men and women said, okay. And you could debate that in the world today, there are still way too many men, maybe still a majority, who do think of women as not being their equals. You know, certainly in parts of the Middle East, most of Asia.
Lots of Africa.
Yeah.
Maybe when they started being repercussions.
That's kind of.
Because then,
maybe that's where
Ben's
spot on.
Because then people are forced into
like you would lose
changing
your job.
Their behavior. Yeah.
If you didn't treat women.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're not going to be promoted with your cock out every Friday, pulling that trick around, you know.
And singing My Ding-a-ling.
Yeah, singing My Ding-a-ling.
Then mama took me to grammar school. But I stopped off in the vestibule. Every time that bell would ring, catch me playing with my ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Yeah, this is it. This is what guys do deep down inside our reptile brains. All we want to do is play with our ding-a-ling.
It's actually the same in that show Mad Men.
Yeah.
Women started suddenly getting jobs and the guys suddenly started having to behave. They weren't all just secretaries.
It's so crazy how this was the norm.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. If you watch this now, you can't believe in a show like that, that's how people behaved. It's like you see movies and TV series where everyone's smoking. Everyone is smoking.
Yeah.
You had to.
Now, you'd look at that and go, oh my God, look at how everyone's smoking. Then it was, you would be noticed if you weren't smoking, you know? If men treated women decently in the early 1900s, people would have looked at you funny. They're like, does that man not know how to treat his wife? If you look at those movies where they just hit each other, you know, if women would just get slapped.
Yeah, shut up, woman.
Yeah.
Just for no reason because and you they put it in spoke, a,
they didn't just
you?
They didn't just do it in real life. They put it in a movie. They put it in TV shows.
Oh, we spoke about Sean Connery slapping women in most of the early Bond movies. That was his thing.
There we go.
Thank goodness we live in 2017.
So, exactly. So you know what? Let's be grateful that we've got to a place where we're a little more civilized. A little more civilized. But I do believe civilization's a real thing. You know, there are these people who will tell you, oh, no, it's a construct and blah, blah, blah. Well, that's bullshit. It's a real thing. And the proof is in the way that we have started to treat each other a little bit better. A little bit better. We're getting better every day. So let's consider ourselves somewhat more evolved than our great-great-grandparents. Because they wouldn't have understood this world. They just smacked each other around.
Oh, no.
Can you imagine?
I honestly would have killed myself. Honestly.
No, I wonder what...
So many women probably did.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, if you brought someone from that time into 2017, what they think?
Oh, she, if it was a woman, you brought some woman back from the 1800s to now, white or black, from any part of the world, they would be... shell-shocked. They wouldn't know what to do. They'd be the most shy, timid creature because that was the only way you survived.
And then a man would be revolted, just like disgusted.
Oh, man, now, if he saw, you know, women doing anything other than cleaning and looking after children, he'd be horrified. Horrified. Thank God we don't live then.
That is a boost for the day if you ever needed one.
Okay. All right. It is time now for the news, which is brought to you by Mabale Moloi and by Colcacchio Pizzeria. If you want a free pizza, how about a whole meal with the slices you earn on Colcacchio Rewards? That's an app. You can have these and more. All you need to do is download the app from your app store, register, and use your earn code every time you visit. Your points will add up faster than you know. Eat, earn, repeat. It's as simple as that. Yes. Chuck Berry on the harmonica.
Oh,
That may be the most horrible sound that we've heard ever on this this new song of yours, the harmonica. All right, what do you got for us, Mubs?
Well, you know how yesterday you were talking about how proud you were that opposition parties were putting their differences aside. There was another march that happened in Limpopo yesterday.
Don't tell me it's all fallen apart already.
Well, we spoke a little bit too soon, apparently. Oh, no. The Democratic Alliance is now denying claims which have been made by the United Democratic Movement that it did not consult other parties to join yesterday's multi-party march in Limpopo. In response, the DA's spokesperson in Limpopo, Soli Malatsi, said the DA in Limpopo has, contrary to some reports, consulted all political parties represented in the provincial legislature for yesterday's march against state capture in Polokwane. We are determined to continue with our fight against the crippling effects of state capture on service delivery across all spheres of government. So it's a he said, she said situation. The UDM saying, you know, other parties weren't consulted. The DA saying that that is simply not true. Again, very quickly, we have been distracted and have deteriorated into nitpicking, losing sight of the bigger picture here.
Wow. Didn't take long.
No, it usually doesn't. And then the police have opened a case of arson and will be investigating what led to a fire that broke out at the Bromfontein office park in Johannesburg yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, what did happen there? I heard there was smoke and fire and everybody was worried and nobody knows what happened.
Yeah. The police's K. Makubela said that Johannesburg Emergency Services inspectors and firefighters will be handing over the, or rather handed over the scene to the SAPS once they wrapped up their own sweeps. Firefighters will also be conducting final mop-ups at the Bromfontein complex. The blaze was contained in central Johannesburg. Paramedics also treated two people for smoke inhalation. But it's pretty much a case of now trying to track how the fire started, which is where the next phase of the investigation will lead investigators. The roof collapsed. Mm-hmm. And firefighters were also concerned about the structural integrity of the building, which is used by, you know, a number of different businesses, including F&B. They need to track how exactly this all started, what led to it.
Are they worried that it's arson? Someone did it on purpose?
Well, a case of arson has been opened.
Hmm.
So there are definitely those suspicions. And I don't know whether, I'm assuming people won't be allowed into certain parts of that building just yet today. But yeah, it's very strange because, you know, people were tweeting about it as well yesterday, just talking about this fire that had taken over. And then a different kind of fire. Rachel Dolezal is in the country. Yay!
And she spoke.
She did speak?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We had such a conversation about this yesterday because Sia's been trying to get her on the show here. And he was on a group. Then he was removed from the group.
Ooh, why?
These Rachel Dolezal people don't know what they're doing.
She has people?
Well, who brought her here?
We have no cooking clue. So,
but who did you speak to?
Exactly. So it's this company, and even doing research, there's like no record of them. No Facebook page, no Twitter handle, nothing. I just landed on this random websites that prove that the company name is actually registered. When I was contacting them via email, there's no name even on like the email signature, Nuchal. But like just discussing them, somehow I just woke up on Saturday morning and I was added onto this WhatsApp group discussing this, and they were like, oh no, if you want to pick up tickets, come and meet us in X place in this random mall at the parking lot. I was like, my mama told me, best girl, that is an abduction waiting to happen.
It is a bit suspicious because apparently the 39-year-old was invited to speak at the Quest for Non-Racial South African Society Dialogue. However, it is unclear whether the event will go ahead.
I saw a picture yesterday. It's just very
bizarre.
When you want to talk about non-racial stuff, you invite a woman who's completely confused about her race, who's mentally ill, and you get her to come and talk to you about race. That's a great move.
Ooh. Now, she spoke with Stephen Grotius yesterday and she said, I still identify as black. Maybe trans black is a good compromise because it identifies that I was born to white parents, but have an authentic black identity. Oh, it's authentic, is it?
Okay. No, well, she's even saying, like, she's not even sure that her parents are her parents now. It's more important for her to be black than for her to acknowledge her own parents raising her.
Has anyone actually interviewed her parents through this whole process?
Yeah.
Yeah, in America they did.
What did they say?
Like, they said, they didn't say she's crazy. But they
she's crazy.
They basically said that they don't understand where all of this is coming from because she's white.
I love Dr. Phil. He gave it to her. He really did. He told her exactly where to get off. Because this woman's getting attention and she's just a fraud.
Con artist and race faker.
You pretended to be black. You perpetrated a lie. You agree with that, right?
No.
You what?
Rachel Dolezal.
Why were people upset?
You'd have to ask them.
People did ask them and they said that you conned them. I keep asking you and I don't get an answer. What is your ownership in it?
I'm not perfect. I make mistakes.
What did you do wrong here?
All new Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil basically said to you're an all-round liar and a fraud. And that's what she is. And only in this country would we take a fraud and give her a platform to speak.
At an event where they're now not even sure whether it's going to continue still.
I wonder how much she got paid for that and who actually funded it. That's ridiculous.
But how does the woke world actually deal with her? Because, you know, she's white and she's admitting she wants to be black. So that's points, isn't it?
No.
Then again, she's white and then she's masquerading as black. So that's very much a bad thing.
Well, it's kind of racist.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? No, as far as I can tell, woke Twitter are not interested in Rachel Dolezal at all. They have attacked her. They have told her where to get off. They do not like Rachel.
Well, they've got to stop being hypocrites because they wouldn't say that to someone who is a man trying to be a woman or pretending that he's a woman when actually he's just got mental illness. So they've got to make up their minds. Are you, and remember, we've had this discussion. We spoke about it when it all happened. If you believe that it is possible for a man to be trapped in a woman's body, in other words, you don't think biology is as important as your gender identity, which you decide on out of thin air, then it's possible for someone to be black on the inside and white on the outside. Otherwise, you're just a hypocrite.
I'm not deciding a damn thing because I don't understand any of it.
I don't care about any of it. To be perfectly honest, Rachel Dolezal and her whole thing is just, it's comedy for me. It's just a source of material. I don't actually think this is a real social issue at all. And I don't think your gender or your race, if you think you present differently to what you really are on the inside, matters to anyone else. I don't think anyone else cares. I don't give a shit if you you think that you're black on the inside. It's your business. I don't judge people because they think that they are men or women trapped in the opposite sex's body. I don't care. None of my business. Either I find you interesting or I don't. And most of those people, I don't because they're attention seeking.
So Rachel spoke at the University of Johannesburg last night on the topic of non-racial South African society, and this is the first of many several other events around the country on her experience on race. Last night she told guests that she does not want to be recorded.
Oy vey.
So you could not do...
She's got rules, huh?
Yeah, you could not do that.
What, in case we actually hold her to her words later on? That's what she doesn't
want. Well, there are a few quotes from what she said last night. Case in point, she says, race is a social construct.
Sure.
I stand unapologetically on the black side. She also said that she is not ashamed of being born to white parents. And she has paid the price of being black.
I don't
know that one as well.
I'm sorry.
Because she's experienced hate crimes and death threats.
Oh,
she's mentally ill.
For Rachel.
She's mentally ill. And you know what? This is eventually what you'll get to if you believe in classifying people by groups. This is Favut's big dream come true. Ooh. This is where Favut wanted things to go, where you consider yourself to be black or white before you consider anything else about yourself. Good for you. Look what you end up with, Rachel Dolezal. I'm proud of my whiteness. I'm proud of my blackness. Well, look what you end up with.
After seven, I'll tell you about how Caitlyn Jenner says she'll never have sex with a woman ever again.
Oh, no.
Okay. It's not for me. I'm just going to keep on doing what I love.
You know, I can't ask. So I've been watching the new episode of the new episodes of the Kardashians, and I'm like, how, Caitlyn, have you changed your hoo-ha? You've
bezonked
it up, but still your voice is that annoying tone.
Never changed your voice.
Lack of effort. Lazy.
Supernova says, what on earth is going on with Kanye and Bao? She's like an opposite Rachel Dolezal. She's so white. Oh, how did she do that?
Kanyum Bao is using, I don't know what these products are. But they're obviously skin lightening products.
Skin lightening situation. Yeah. And she posted a picture up on Twitter over the weekend and did.
Yeah, well, I mean, people had their time with her, is all I'll say.
But even if you don't know who Kanyum Bao is and you just look at that picture, you can tell that that's not like a natural complexion.
Is Kanyum Bao white? It was like a trending topic.
Look, she's completely bleached her skin, is essentially what's happened here.
We just cannot move on from we really think that the color of our skins is the most important thing. It's so stupid. So stupid. I mean, I'm looking at these pictures of Kanye and I can't believe she would. She's a beautiful woman. She's always been a beautiful woman. Why would she want to change all of that? It's these people who have plastic surgery. It bothers me just as much. Don't do it. You will regret it later on in life. And look terrible as an old person. Just stop it. All right, let's get into some sport with Ben. We missed out on a lot of this yesterday. We got some of it on the Skype line, but this morning, Ben is going to fill us in on a whole lot more. And there's stuff he wants to talk about today. And he can move his shoulders just a little bit.
Yeah, so Champions League action last night, and Leicester, well, they tried their hardest. But Atletico got a vital goal in the 25th minute, which meant that Leicester had to basically score three goals to win the tie. They scored one, and then that was it. So 1-1, Leicester with Atletico, 1-1, and then aggregate being 1-2. Atletico through to the semis, as are Real Madrid. Now, Real Madrid scored four last night against Bayern Munich. Mm-hmm. They won 6-3, but the game was marred by all kinds of dodgy refereeing decisions. There were yellow cards and red cards being dished out to Bayern, but there was nothing towards Real. There was offsides being called for Bayern, but no such calls for Real. Like, it wasn't just marginal stuff. It was pretty obvious.
This guy was biased.
I should say that he maybe didn't like the color red, or he just really likes Ronaldo. One of the two. It's okay. These things happen, but you don't want it to happen at the Champions League quarterfinals. It's okay if your son's league is maybe marred by the odd decision because the referee, who's also the geography teacher, maybe hadn't delivered his glasses. Not at this level. So Carlo Ancelotti, who is the coach of Bayern, said, look, it's time we have the video ref. Mm-hmm. And people are saying, well, it doesn't always help in rugby. But the thing is, football's quite a clean sport, right?
Right.
You either foul the guy you didn't. You're either offside or you're not. It's not like when you see hands in a ruck or you see, like, can you see the ball go over the line? Is it double movement? There's a lot of murky areas in rugby because it's a contact sport. But in football, it is so clear cut. So, really, they've got to come with the times. Now, I'm not saying Bayern would have won last night because, well, Real are bloody good. And 6-3 aggregate basically shows that. But, you know, it's about momentum in certain ties. You get a guy getting sent off, changes the entire match. You get a team scoring at the wrong time. I mean, even if you watch the Stormers versus the Lions last week, right? Now, the Lions are a better side, and I will concede that and say they probably would have won. But that try, with the third TMO said, I have compelling evidence that it's a try. Basically, he was talking completely out of his ass. And there was no compelling evidence. And who says I have compelling evidence? It's either yes or no, mate. It's one of the two. Don't try to give me smoke and mirrors and you alleged this guy and the suspicion around that. We've got to become a lot more clinical in this. And it's not hard. I mean, I know most people sitting here going, yeah, I agree with you. Because when I've got four beers in me on the couch, I know exactly what's going on the replays.
Right.
There's obviously a lot more stress and pressure and that kind of stuff. And who knows what you can do in the moment. But it just seems all too often these things are just handled so badly. tonight we'll see the other quarterfinal legs in the Champions League. It'll be Monaco versus Dortmund. Monaco are sitting pretty, 3-2 up, and those are three away goals already in the bank then. And then Barcelona versus Juventus. Well, Barcelona are really up against it. Kind of like in the last round against PSG, they were 4-0 down. Here they're 3-0 down. The only difference is Juventus are a much better side than PSG, a lot more structured, much better defense. So for Barcelona to score four unanswered goals tonight, doubt it. Also action tonight in the PSL. So the big things happening in the PSL right now. Now, we all expected that Sundowns would then use their games in hand to re-trot away with things. Mm-hmm. Well, it hasn't really been the case. They still have a few games in hand of the people who are leading right now, but they are not up there with the points just yet. So Cape Town City currently lead. They're on 45 points after 23 matches.
Right.
Kaizer Chiefs, who are really having a good run right now, they've got 45 points, tied for the lead with Cape Town City, but they've played the extra match. Then we've got Wits and Sundowns. They've both played 21 matches. Wits on 44 points and Sundowns on 41. So SuperSport United took a massive dicking recently to Chiefs. Sundowns. They lost 5-0. So we can kind of rule them out. So let's just say this is going to be a four-horse race now, the Premiership right here in SA, which means that if you look at tonight's fixtures, very exciting. Tonight, SuperSport United versus Sundowns, that'll be at 7:30. Polokwane City take on Platinum Star, 7:30. And then Cape Town City versus Bidvest Wits, also 7:30. So all the big teams, there's your top four. Top three without Chiefs. Really, if you're not into the European stuff, you don't care for that second team mumbo jumbo, you want to support your teams tonight. Sundowns will be at SuperSport United. And how is that even right? They played recently. Anyway, I'm just reading the fixtures.
Are you making it up?
No, it's like the fixtures are all here, but they played them like last week. Anyway, Cape Town City Wits, 7:30, also massive. Today is the 19th of April, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not losing my mind completely.
No, it's the 19th.
Okay, very good.
It's Wednesday. We do have a short week, in case that's maybe the reason that you screwed up.
Yeah. And then look at the Premier League. It's not a whole bunch of sport today, so that's why I'm giving you a big football go. If you look at the Premier League now, Chelsea were like 10 points clear, looking so great. Suddenly the lead is just 4 points, right? So they've both played 32 matches, Spurs and Chelsea. That's your top two. Chelsea on 75, Spurs on 71. Liverpool played an extra match and they're down on 66. So looking like a two-horse race. But just look at the fixtures to see how is this going to be shaken up. Well, both teams are going to be playing matches that they really should win. They're against middle to lower teams. They haven't got any of the big fixtures in their way. So between now and the end of May, Chelsea's big game is 30th of April, Everton versus Chelsea. Spurs' big game is at home against Man United on the 14th of May. So unless one of these guys slip up against a lesser team, it's going to be really neck and neck all the way through to the end, which is bloody exciting. Good thing for football too. And finally, Gareth, just a bit of fighting news. We'll get into the athletics and rugby tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But there's many theories going around that Conor McGregor has a new plan towards this whole fight with Money Mayweather guy.
Tell me.
So it's going to be a boxing match, right? That was what's been kind of agreed. That would be the primary match. But people are thinking that if Conor McGregor can get to the point where he doesn't get knocked out in the ring by Mayweather in a boxing match and can last all 12 rounds, go the distance, and then he can then dispute the decision, he'll then ask for a rematch that will take place in the MMA arena. So it's kind of smart, because if he walks the walk with Floyd in his game, Mayweather
will have to do the same in his.
Yeah. He can't really back out. And that would be interesting, because then you've got both fights happening. Because as much as everyone wants to see a boxing match, they also kind of want to see Mayweather get beaten like to pulp in the MMA ring. Hexagon, sorry.
I see.
So that'd be very smart and massively lucrative. I mean, if they're saying it's like a $1 billion fight, if it goes into the hexagon, there'll be just as much money, I reckon.
There we go. That would be worth watching. I would even, and I don't watch boxing. I'd watch that.
I'm all in for both of those fights.
Let's see which is the more important discipline as well. They're very different things. You would never mix these sports normally. But these two have been goading each other. Let's see. Why don't you two stop pussyfooting around and beat each other up in the ring?
Yeah. The moment you can use your elbows, your feet, and grapple, Mayweather's got no chance.
Let's see what happens. All right, time for Anthea.
She looks hard for the money.
Yes, she does.
So hard for it, honey. She looks hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
So, Anthea, what's happening in the markets today?
Good morning, Gareth. It was hard to find green on the JSC yesterday.
I saw that.
They were not a good day at all.
No.
There were a couple of big moves locally. First of all, Asor, African Rainbow Mineral, and Kumba were down between 8 and 10% in one day yesterday. But then the iron ore price has fallen to $69 a ton after trading as high as $95 a ton in February. So, of course, this is going to have an impact. 2 weeks ago, Kumba was a 230 Rand share. Today, it's trading at 172 Rand. I mean, granted, a year ago, it was a 97 Rand share. So that's, I think that's just really testament to how this iron ore price has rallied and then come back and the uncertainty and volatility in the market at the moment.
Would you go into iron ore? Would you go into steel?
No, not at this stage. So China on Monday released their GDP number of 6.9% GDP growth for the, it must have been the first quarter of this year.
Can we trust China's numbers?
I think that's a question we all ask. Really, can we trust those numbers?
I mean it's always telling us it's somewhere around 6, 7%, even when everybody else on earth is not doing as well.
And about a month, 2 months ago, they were saying that they thought it was going to come down to between 6 and 6.5%. So I really can't say, Gareth. But I mean, I think what it did show was that the economy really isn't transforming as quickly as they thought it would into a services economy. And so steel was still one of the big contributors, and the property price, and of course, credit lending. I think those are the things that they'd like to keep under control. And so we should see that number come down if they don't move into the services economy as quickly. But no, for me, iron ore. So, I mean, I think when it was at 95 or above 90, we were all saying $75 a ton is probably where it should be. Now it's 69, so it's probably about equilibrium. So no, I wouldn't be going into steel or iron at this stage.
All right.
And then banks were also under pressure yesterday. Nedbank was down as much as 5% at one stage. It wasn't so much them, it was their investment in EcoBank, which is a Nigerian bank, who put out a voluntary trading statement saying that their quarter one loss would be about 1.2 billion rand. Nedbank owns 20% of ETI, or EcoBank Transnational, I forget what the I stands for. And the attributable equity loss would be about 250 million rand for Nedbank for the quarter. So, it wasn't necessarily Nedbank, just a bad investment in this case.
Tell me. We often talk about the big four banks. Which of the big four banks behaves the worst, and which one has got the lowest share price?
So I think when you mean lowest share price, you mean like actual nominal share, not the worst valuation. Is that what you mean? Or do you mean worst valuation?
I mean both. Give me both if you can.
Okay, so I'm going to have to open my screen again. So, because I don't remember all the share prices off by heart. So I think First Rand has probably got the lowest nominal, but probably the best performing bank, because, you know, they have ROEs of in excess of 20%, which is hard to get by. Capitec, interesting, overvalued at this price where it is now. It's run so hard. It has done a phenomenal job of garnering market share from the other banks and, you know, transforming from kind of a lender to the poor into a bank, and now it's going to release a credit card and so forth and so forth. So Barclays, probably where you would find the best value for money. Because Barclays, I mean, and so because these things move around so much and what's happened with the Rand recently, Barclays is probably on a price earnings ratio of about 8 times and a 7% dividend yield. And you're not going to get that just kind of anyway in the market at this stage.
Right.
So, yeah, if you want to buy a bank, probably buy Barclays.
All right. That's all I really wanted. But I mean, I'm surprised that you can't just pull these share prices out like that. I mean, what's wrong with you? Don't you know them all? Don't you have a brain that can absorb this stuff immediately?
or 421 shares, absolutely.
Yeah, come on, Anthea, what the hell? Can't you just recall a share price from memory?
Oh, if I must. Okay, Capitec, 767 Rand a share. First Rand, 47 Rand 26. Barclays Group Africa. Where's this name share? R144 a share. And Nedbank, R224.56. How's that?
Thank you.
That's all you want today. All right. So
just wanted you to show off a little bit.
And then Aspen fell as much as 4% yesterday after an article over the weekend said that they had, or they were facing UK and EU regulatory investigations regarding pricing issues. You may have seen this. The company has neither confirmed nor denied that they tried to hike cancer drug prices by as much as 4,000%. And the reason they're not commenting is because they're saying the issues in the article are still sub judice, so a nice, easy way out for them. I mean, the portfolio we're talking about here, the cancer drug portfolio, is about R1 billion, and they're a R35 billion turnover company, so what's that? Barely 3.3%. So basically, on the revenue line, negligible, but I think from a sentiment point of view, very negative for the share. And then EOH also responded to the Daily Maverick article I spoke about yesterday. They said that the article has false and unfounded insinuations. They said they had nothing to do and never will have anything to do with social grant payments, basically. So there you go. The share price was kind of flat, a little bit all over the place. You know, it's a difficult one because we did sell out of it. And I do like this company. I do like this share. It's cheap at a 13 times forward PE at the moment. I might actually buy it back at some stage. For now, I'm just going to watch a little bit to see if anything else comes out of it.
Does this mean, you know, if the share price doesn't necessarily go up or down when they're in such a very public and quite damaging story, does that mean that people don't believe them?
Well, on Thursday last week, when the article did come out, the share price was down 4.5%. And then yesterday, when they denied it, the share price didn't really move. So I guess people are just not convinced.
Yeah,
they're a bit like me. Oh, let's see, you know, kind of where there's smoke, is there going to be a fire, that sort of thing.
All right.
Okay, and then just we have to touch on the global macro story because Theresa May yesterday announced that she's calling an early election for June the 8th now. So first of all, what we saw when this happened was that cable, the pound US dollar, strengthened to its strongest level this year. So it briefly touched 126.58 in February compared to the pre-Brexit level of 148 in June of last year. So if she does, and if she does win it, the question I think that everyone's asking is probably can Article 50 be revoked? And all of is kind of the market reacting to uncertainty again. Bonds, so government bonds, the UK government bond yield fell below 1% yesterday. So if you were buying government bonds yesterday, you were getting less than 1%. Quite the opposite to us, that when we recall our finance minister or we fire him and his deputy, our bonds are trading at a 10% yield. No, actually, sorry, 9%. So moving quite in the opposite direction. But the bonds recovered a bit. Well, the yield recovered a bit. So I guess it really is everyone just trying to figure out what exactly this early election means. I mean, she doesn't actually, it's not actually going to happen. She still needs approval from the House, what do they call it? House of Commons?
Yeah.
But I think it's an interesting and very strategic move. And all she's basically saying is, she's got support from the people of Britain, the British, that they want Brexit, but Parliament are giving her a hard time, and she thinks this is her calling an early election is basically her way of telling the opposition to shut up, really.
Yeah, well, she's going to destroy Jeremy Corbyn, and he's in such a poor position right now that if elections were called, and if they do go ahead, he's going to lose it horribly.
The Conservatives have a 17 percentage point lead. Can you believe it? I think it is the biggest lead that they've ever had over the Labour Party.
People in that country are sick to death of the bullshit coming from Labour.
Yeah. It's incredible, isn't it? It's, mm-hmm. So there you go. And then, yeah, of course, there's still U.S. We saw a lot of earnings reporting yesterday, market under pressure last night, so really not good. Yeah. Netflix, Goldman Sachs, Johnson & Johnson, all underperforming, all down between 2.5%, 4.5%, almost 5% yesterday. So really just not meeting the earnings expectations. So very disappointing results out there yesterday. And then Asia's flat or negative as well this morning. So I'm afraid it might be another difficult day.
Well, let's hope not. I mean, we can only hope. Thanks, Anthea.
But we're so used to this now, right?
I know.
We know how this goes.
Up and down. All right. Exactly. Have a good day.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Thanks.
Anthea Gardner with a look at the money. It is just after 7. Tell me something I need to know. CliffCentral.com.